I'm so excited to begin a new series as we are going to go through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, scripture by scripture. I'm excited. And I know I have done a few books before, verse by verse, and this is something that the Lord put in my heart, and I'm really excited because we are going to really dig into the Word, and we are going to be really blessed. All right, so let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to give you a very brief introduction, because I really want to get into the scriptures. Paul is the author and of Ephesians, and it's written to the church of Ephesus. Some say that Paul wrote this while he was in Rome in prison. Ephesus was a very large city in Asia Minor. It was a rich city, and it was famous for its superstition and idolatry, as the temple of Diana was there, and they believed that an image fell from heaven, and there was the theater that about 50,000 spectators can be accommodated in that theater. And Paul witnessed to these people. In the book of Acts chapter 19, you will see how the witnessing evangelists of Paul for the Ephesians. And also, as a result, these heathens, these idolaters, were converted to Christianity. And they received into the covenant with God. So there was a time that Paul also, in his when he went back again, he stayed more for almost 3 years over there, strengthening the church. Later we understand that Apostle John lived there, and also Apostle John had his natural death there. And also we understand that Luke also lived in Ephesus later. But today, Ephesus is not that large city anymore. It's a really small, there's a little town that called Selçuk in the western Turkey, and that is Ephesus today. Now, let's begin with verse 1. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Here we see again, the author's name is Paul. Sometimes you can call the English word is Paul, but his pronunciation is Paulos, means small or little. He is called to be an apostle by God's will. Now, he said that Paul was little, was small, his letters were very impressive, but in person, people will say, man, is this the one that we wrote? We read his letters, but he doesn't look that impressive in person. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:10. 2 Corinthians 10:10. It's here. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And here we see that it's not like today's modern preachers or the salesmen who look pretty, love big personality, nothing like that. So it shows that it's the Word of God that brings power unto salvation. It's not the man, it's not the messenger, it's the message that comes. So the word apostle, the Greek word is apostolos, is a translation of the Hebrew word salia, which means a person who acts as the fully authoritative representative of someone else. That somebody has given authorization act on his behalf and representing somebody else. Now, there are some qualifications, biblical qualifications to be an apostle. One is they have to be with Christ, or they have seen Christ. Now you might say, how did Apostle Paul see Christ? If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 15:6. Starting from 5, and he has seen by Cephas and by the 12, that is Peter and the 12, that he has seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he has seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Here we see Apostle Paul has seen Jesus. Now, this authority, it comes directly from Jesus Christ, and he had authority in, you know, apostles had authority in doctrine, because the doctrine came directly from the Lord. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here we see it's Christ who gives. He gave some to be apostles. Christ is the one who chose them. The apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ, of our Lord, and they are the foundation of the church. Their office was a first generation office. It cannot be repeated. It means there are no apostles today. Okay? Because there are churches. The apostolic church believes they have apostles today. So that's a cult. But today, we see through the scriptures, apostle has to be a first generation and who has seen Christ. And directly, Christ speaks to them, all right, and gives them a commission to do, gives their word. So, the apostles, actually, their office was the highest rank in the church. Apostles' office had the highest rank in the church. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. God has appointed in these, in the church, first, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of stunts. So first, the apostles. The highest rank. All right? And also, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Built on the foundation of first comes apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When I see the first apostles, I see the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That is the New Testament written by the apostles. Then the prophets, you see the Old Testament in Jesus Christ. We see that he himself being the chief cornerstone, which is Christ is the center of the Bible. All right, it's amazing scripture. And verse 21 says that in whom the whole building being fitted together, that means you and I and all the Christians, okay, are being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Wow! Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Peter 3, 2. You may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter puts that into the canon, saying, this is the word of God that we have spoken. So the apostles were given power of working miracles and the confirmation of the truth of Christ's authority and the doctrine. Apostle Paul's previous name, as everybody knows, was Saul. But it was the will of God that he received salvation, because he was not looking for salvation. He was persecuting the church. And it was the will of God that he was to become an apostle and change from Saul to Saul. This all happened by the grace of God. Now, the letter was written to Ephesus. And it says here, it is written to the Ephesus, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Now, who are the saints? According to Roman Catholicism, a saint is a person who has, who is kind of a holy type person, who has really, you know, secluded from the others, who is very strong in prayer, he had prayed, and holy type person. And when that person dies, the Pope canonized that person into a saint. This is what is called the canonization of saints. The word canonization, it means that an act of ranking a dead person into the catalog of saints. Now, of course, we know the Pope has canonized hundreds and hundreds of saints. This is according to Roman Catholicism. Pope has the power to canonize, make somebody into a saint. So the Roman Catholic Church remembers the dead saints on November the 1st, All Saints' Day. So there are many Roman Catholic people who pray to these saints and ask for help. So the saints become the mediator.